Good morning again. My name is Michelle. I'm a pastor here at WMB, and I spend most of our Sundays at our Kitchener site, but I love having an opportunity to be here in Waterloo every few weeks and to see and connect with many of you and to share a message with those of you joining us online. So it's always a joy to be here. If you guys want to pull your Bibles or your Bible apps to Psalm 103, that's where we're going to be looking today. That's our passage. I believe it was last Sunday's reading in our 180 reading challenge. And for those of you that are just joining us, over the past several weeks, we've been in this series looking at different tools for reading and engaging Scripture so that we can see between the lines to get a deeper understanding of God's activity in his lives and our work in our lives. And today, this morning, is actually the last message in this teaching series, although our 180 plan does continue for several more months, and we hope that you'll continue to join us in this reading plan and walking through Scripture together. And so this morning, to finish our series, we're going to look at Psalm 103, and we're going to put to work a bunch of the tools that we've been learning over the last few weeks, and then we're going to step back and offer one more tool as we look at the bigger picture of the movement of Scripture. And, you know, as we've been doing this 180 reading plan, we've been hearing a lot of questions from you guys and things that you're wrestling with as we dig into Scripture, and especially some of the really complicated Old Testament passages, and some of you are wrestling and wanting to understand and asking questions, and it's so good, and we love that, and we want to keep doing more and more of that as a community. And so as we've heard from you guys over the last few weeks, Jeff and I actually shifted our focus for today's message and thought, you know, let's dig into to some of these questions together. And I'm really just going to brush the surface with the tool we're looking at today. So I don't want you to be thinking that we're going to answer all your questions about all these difficult passages this morning. But hopefully the tool that we look at helps shift how we read some of these difficult passages in Scripture and start to see how they might fit together. And so we're going to go on a bit of a journey today, and as I said, beginning with Psalm 103. But before we get into that, I just want to set up our teaching with a couple of things. And so my first word for you this morning is hermeneutics. And if I can get the slides on the confidence monitor too, that would be really helpful. Thanks, Nathan. All right, hermeneutics. Anybody heard that word? Apparently, they teach it in Adventures in Odyssey, which is amazing. But I didn't grow up with that. So the first time I heard this word was my first seminary course. And this was the name of the course. And I thought, oh no, I'm in a lot of trouble if I don't even know what my first course is about. And so it's a big fancy word, hermeneutics. But what it really means is the process we use to interpret the Bible. And whether you realize it or not, we all have a particular approach, a hermeneutic, to how we interpret Scripture when we open our Bible and read it. And it's shaped by many things in our lives and our culture around us, and we're not going to get into all of that today. But part of growing as disciples, as followers of Jesus, is learning to become more and more aware of the hermeneutic that we're already using when we read the Bible, and learning to develop a strong hermeneutic, a strong approach to interpret and understanding the Bible that allows us to properly hear from God's Spirit and understand his truth in his words to us. You know, and you might think back on your own experiences or your journey with reading the Bible, and you know, if you've been a Christian or if you've been reading the Bible for many years, maybe you've seen that develop or grow and shift, or maybe you've just opened the Bible for the first time in the last couple weeks and trying to figure out what to do with it. I know for me, growing up as a child and a teen, I felt like I had a pretty fundamental, solid understanding of what the Bible was. I knew it was God's word, and then I would hear in church, they'd always be quoting verses from the Bible to support or prove something, and usually something related to ethical behavior, what was good or bad or what I should or shouldn't do. And I'd hear a lot of "the Bible says" as proof or verification for what was right, or that they were doing what God wanted. And this is really common, and this is a hermeneutic, a particular way of interpreting and using the Bible. And under that model, I felt, okay, so if I can learn the right Bible verse as well, then I can figure out how to live life the way God wants, and it's really clear and straightforward, right? And yet, as I started to read more and more of Scripture, it didn't take all that long before I actually got pretty frustrated and confused. Because the story of the Bible doesn't come across as cut and dry as that sounds, right? And if I'm reading Scripture for what should I shouldn't do in this situation or what is good and bad, it gets really confusing really quickly. And yet, this is a really common model or approach, and we'll see all different models or views. There's so many books about this, and there is a bit of a human tendency to want to make it really simple and straightforward. And yet the Bible says many things about many things, and in many ways you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to. You can find a verse and pull it out, and there the Bible says, I've got it figured out. One of my profs would call this the cookie cutter approach. Just stick it in and pull out that piece that you want that fits. Others talk about plucking a passage. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot through history where that's caused a lot of misunderstanding and hurt in understanding God's real intent and desire for humanity. And so we need a hermeneutical model, a way of understanding and interpreting Scripture that doesn't just patch a few verses taken out of context. A model that stops us as humans from doing what we really love to do, which is seeking our own wisdom and then claiming it comes from Jesus and his word because we found something that sounds like it's faithful to what we already think is loving or just. And so in my own journey with the Bible, I learned that I needed a new hermeneutic. I mean, I didn't know that word at the time. That came much later. But I learned that I needed a better way of engaging Scripture that made it all fit together with Jesus, that would shape my relationship with God and then my life from there. And engaging the Bible in new ways in seminary and starting to grow in this area was probably one of the most significant takeaways for me. And as I began to study and understand Scripture in new ways, and I grew in confidence about how the Bible can really be the infallible word of God, which means it can be trusted to accomplish its purpose of revealing who God is and of being an authoritative guide for our faith, for what we believe, and for how we live it out as his people. And this is something that we're really passionate about in the Mennonite Brethren Church. And our convictions around Scripture have developed out of a particular hermeneutic that looks at the Bible as a whole and not as pieces. And you know, being a disciple of Jesus means we continue to be learners in this way and be longing to know Jesus more and more and digging into Scriptures and recognizing them as God's primary way of revealing himself and Jesus to us. And digging and wrestling so that we can see him, we can see Jesus in every passage and understand how it fits together and then how we fit into that today. And so second thing before we get into our passage, and so a key place to start in developing a good hermeneutic is to recognize the Bible contains one single, grand, authoritative, and good God story that points to the fullness of what the New Testament calls the kingdom of God. And in the first week of this series, we introduce these three levels of historical narrative, and we'll get the diagram up on screen. There you go. Hopefully you recognize that. And we talked about this being a part of historical narratives in the Bible. And while the Bible isn't just narrative, the Bible itself is one complete narrative, telling this third level redemption story from start to finish, and moving through different stages of it. And Ken Esau, our denomination's Faith and Life Director, who Greg said is going to be here speaking next Sunday, he puts it this way, and I really love it. He says, the Bible sings a song that moves three stages, like variations on a theme, as it crescendos toward the shalom kingdom of God. I'll just read that again. The Bible sings a song that moves through stages, like variations on a theme, as it crescendos toward the shalom kingdom of God. Now, shalom is probably a word you recognize. Stephanie did some teaching on this concept with us this past fall, and we talked about shalom as a deep peace and flourishing for all people. And we looked at it in the context of Barnabas missions and how we engage with our neighbors and our community around us. And this is God's vision for all people, for everywhere, for all time. The goal of Scripture is the fullness of this shalom kingdom of God. Like a love song where God and Jesus reign supreme over all heaven and earth. Where humans all around the world joyfully worship and obey and follow God. Where we experience God's character of love and justice and holiness and righteousness in every area of life, following him together. And that's the vision and the melody that Scripture is building towards. And so how do we learn to start to hear this melody? And so to start, when we look at Scripture, we want to read it with the beginning and the end in mind. In Genesis, we have the Garden of Eden, God giving us this perfect picture of our lives with him, living in this beautiful garden in his presence and walking with him, and there's no shame, and we're naked in the garden together, which probably doesn't have the same appeal this side of Eden. And then Scripture ends again with a new city. We see it in Revelation 22 at the very end of the Bible, a new city with a new garden at the center where there's no more evil and we're walking with God again. And you can see on screen just a passage of this vision in Revelation. The river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. The tree of life, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And so when we look at Scripture, we need to start by remembering that it's moving us to something, because we find ourselves today between Genesis 2 and Revelation 22. We're between these spaces, but in Scripture we find a redemptive movement moving us toward the Revelation 22 reality. And this is the Shalom Kingdom melody. And the narrative is never stagnant. It's always about God moving his people back into his kingdom one step at a time. And last thing here, just as Ken in his quote, he talked about different stages and variations on a theme. We see how the kingdom melody develops over time and has different nuances as it moves through different stages. And so as we get into Scripture, we need to remember that this melody is going to present in unique and different ways and sound different from Old Testament to New Testament and even within all of that. So now, keeping all of this in mind, this hermeneutics, a good way to interpret Scripture, and listening for the Shalom Kingdom melody in all its stages and variations, now we're going to go back to our passage and press into that. So as I said, we're going to be reading Psalm 103, and so you can have your Bible or Bible app ready. I am going to read the whole psalm, so if you prefer, you might want to just sit back and close your eyes and take in the words for a minute. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. What a beautiful song from King David. And so how do we start to see the Shalom Kingdom melody in this passage? So in the first few weeks of the series, we talked about a few tools, looking at the genre in which a text is written, the importance of studying context and looking for repetitive words or phrases. And so to start, the genre of this text is poetry. And David is writing a worshipful, praise-filled poem or song about how good God is. And then taking a look at the context, and most study Bibles can help you with some of this. David is rejoicing, particularly that God has revealed he will bless his family for generations. Adam and Sean talked about this covenant last Sunday, and we looked at the passage, the interaction between David and God in that moment, and how David's son would be the one to build God a house, a temple for him to dwell. And David is so overwhelmed by this news, which makes sense especially in this context, because David is in an honor and shame-based culture that is based around God's giving your family and your nation favor and good fortune. And so God has said he will bless the nation of Israel as promised, and then he's doing this through David's family, which then brings David great honor. Because David's context is a world full of many gods. Everyone was religious in one way or another. And so often a family would have a particular God that you would serve and aim to please, but then you would add on many others and worship and sacrifice to many other gods depending on your different needs at the time. And this is really important to remember when we read the Old Testament, that we're looking at religious cultures, pagan religious cultures, that have transactional relationships with a God. With gods, constantly seeking the approval of gods, fearing their anger because these gods would determine how your life would be. And so David, as a good Israelite, he serves Yahweh, the God of his ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Jews were much like the world around them, except for this one crucial thing, that they're supposed to worship only one God, Yahweh. And it's very easy for us to miss what an incredibly radical thing this is for their day. And so this is some of the cultural and situational context of the song. And then we can start to look at some keywords or phrases to see themes that emerge. And so to start, if you take a look at verses 1 to 2 at the start and then 21 to 22 at the end, what do you see as you look at those passages? We see the word praise three times at the beginning and again at the end. And this is poetry, and this is clearly a psalm of praise. David is praising God. But there's also something about ancient literature, and when we see a theme or like a word, so this word praise, bookending the start and the end of a passage, then we also need to look to the middle, because a deeper and more significant message will actually be found between these bookends. And so as we look at the rest of the psalm, we can see what David is praising God for, and you know, we see him praising God for all that he's done for him and his nation, but there's so much happening. And so take a look back in your Bible in front of you. What are some of the things that you see specifically David naming? Just take a look right now. We see him talking about a God who forgives sins, heals diseases, redeems from death, crowns with love and compassion, satisfies our desires, exercises righteousness and justice. And all of this without David or us deserving. It's so beautiful. And it's a really awesome moment because there's something really powerful happening here where David starts by thanking God for this one particular thing. And yet he's just lifted up in awe at how amazing this God is. And I think even speaking of things in this song that are actually beyond his understanding. But there's also another repetitive piece. And so now take a look at verses 11 and 13 and 17 and 18, and you can see it on screen. One more line, we see this pattern, those who fear him, those who keep his covenant and obey his precepts. And so David's making a connection between these beautiful things he's praising God for, but recognizing that they come to those who fear and obey God. And he's making this connection of praise rooted in obedience and blessing, not as reward or prosperity, just to be really clear there, but blessing the fruit of a right relationship with God as David has been slowly orienting his life around worshiping God and seeing the fruit of that. And it's a really beautiful thing. And so before we keep going, I just want to give you a moment. Just take a moment of prayer on your own. What are some things that you can give God thanks and praise for in your life this morning? Just take a moment on your own and pray right now. For all these things, we praise your name, Lord. Amen. All right, so there's one other thing we want to do with this passage and press into this morning. And as I said earlier, that all of Scripture fits into this grand redemptive narrative of God moving us towards full redemption, towards this Revelation 22 reality. And so we want to take this psalm and this image of God that David has given us. We want to kind of step back and look at how it fits in the rest of the Bible around it. Because another thing we've talked about in this series is to be curious, to be curious and wonder and ask questions and dig and explore and wrestle with things as you come across them. And so when I read this passage, on the one hand, it's awesome to be reminded of who God is and to praise him and worship him. But then I can also take this passage and put it alongside everything that we've been reading so far in this reading plan. And then there's a bit of a tension, right? As you think of some of the stories and things we've been seeing in the Old Testament these last couple months in our reading. As you think about David's portrayal of God, how does this fit with what you've seen so far? Does it fit? Does it resonate? Is there some tension? Because hopefully we've seen some glimpses of a loving, forgiving God. But I know we've also seen a lot of violence and disobedience and betrayal and adultery and even far worse things. And we've seen God frustrated and angry and this nation of Israel that's like a bunch of petulant children and so much disruption and punishment and violence and all of that. And we're seeing people and maybe sometimes God do some horrific or violent things. Even consider David's own life and all that he's endured up to this point. Yes, he's king in this moment, but it wasn't an easy road there. And these are some of those difficult passages. When I started reading the Bible deeply, I was like, wasn't sure what to do with them. They didn't fit with my prior understanding. And this is something we've been hearing from a number of you as we get into some of these difficult passages and wrestling to understand how we see this God that we think we know in these passages, how they fit together, how we make sense of them within the broader story. And so that's how we want to use this psalm and this last piece we want to look into this morning with this Shalom Kingdom Melody Tool. So this is where we bring in this tool of this redemptive story, this melody that's building and growing and learning to listen for the melody in all its stages and variations throughout Scripture. To start by taking this difficult text that don't make sense to us in our worldview and cultural understanding today, and put them into the context of the redemptive narrative and look at them more deeply this way. And this psalm is one of those brief Old Testament glimpses into what we see and know in Jesus today. Because as Christians today, we know the beginning and the end. We've seen Genesis, we know what's coming in Revelation. We don't know everything, but God has revealed to us a lot. Great example, Paul's words to the Ephesians, when he says, he, God, has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. This mystery of God's will. God has made something known to us today that not even David understood, something that was a mystery throughout the Old Testament. And this movement, God's will, for all things to be brought back into unity under heaven and earth, in heaven and earth under Christ. And we have this knowledge today that they didn't have in the Old Testament. We live on this side of the cross, and this mystery now revealed to us. And yet at that time, they just had brief glimpses, like David's song, of a truth that would remain hidden until Jesus came. And this is where this Shalom Kingdom melody will sound a little different at different stages, even as it is one continuous song. And so when we read in the Old Testament and we come across these violent or strange behaviors and difficult passages, we need to shift our interpretation to this lens and start to read passages through the lens of the cross and see how that can bring clarity to God's redemptive movement that is happening throughout Scripture. The work that he is building to towards Jesus on the cross, and then from there. And this is how we'll start to see the God that David is praising. A God of forgiveness and grace who gave us his son on an ugly Roman cross so that we could be redeemed and brought back to his will. And this is what the Old Testament is setting the stage for and building towards step by step. And so we always got to go back to some of these contextual pieces. People who are worshiping the gods, relying on gods in transactional relationships for all of their needs, for food, for water, for family and children, for victory in war. And even the Israelites, who we would call monotheistic, which means they believe in only one God, Yahweh. They're still caught in these cultural worldviews and temptations and these transactional relationships. And so when we read passages and Israelites crediting God for their victory in war, lamenting their losses, this is a cultural norm to give credit to the gods for victory. Whether a god actually had anything to do with it or not, you were trained, you had to credit a god because otherwise you risked offending them. And they were petrified of that. And the Israelites were no different in these behaviors. They would credit Yahweh, the one God. But that was whether or not God had anything to do with the violence. We see people living out their brokenness and God moving them away from violence by slowly redeeming them. And this is that Old Testament stage of the kingdom melody. And as we're engaging these passages, what we need to look for are the ways that God is slowly moving his people progressively away from worshiping the gods in these transactional ways to serving and living their lives under him as God in the relationship for which we were created. Because God is moving people slowly towards the cross in Jesus. And the way this is happening quite often in the Old Testament is this approach called stooping. And it's a theological term where we see in Scripture how God meets people where they're at and slowly redirects their behaviors into more kingdom-like behaviors. Let's just pause and think about it. Because it's a technical term, but it's so awesome and beautiful. And to me, it says a lot about the true character of God. That this holy God who is seeing all this destruction around him, he doesn't wait for us to come up to him in his level. But he stoops down and he comes to our level where we're at. And he invites us to take that one step forward with him. Isn't that amazing? That's what God's been doing throughout history. Jesus, the incarnation, God coming as one of us, is one of the most powerful examples of that. And this is God's posture throughout history. In our lives today, I think of the many ways that God has been very patient and gracious to me in my own life, in one step at a time, correcting things and drawing me into his ways. And God has been stooping throughout history. And the Old Testament intentionally portrays this God stooping to meet the Israelites and reveal his character and ways among them, slowly redirecting their behavior a one step closer to him within their worldview and context. And he's not just doing this to the Israelites, but he's doing this for the whole world. He's stooping and entering the world and guiding his people one step at a time in a way not just to reveal himself to his people, but to all the nations. And we see this all the nations again and again in the Old Testament, because that is God's longing, to develop a people for his name that will live his ways, that will shine his light and goodness to the whole world. And in the Old Testament, we see the intensity, the fullness of human sinfulness and brokenness and all of the destruction that brings to people in all of creation. And we see a God stooping and guiding and redirecting and shifting, meeting people where they're at and taking that one step again and again and again until Jesus, until the cross comes and takes all of this violence and destruction and sinfulness and brokenness, and Jesus takes it upon himself. And the melody radically changes from there. As Christians today, the Kingdom Shalom melody will sound very different for us because we're on this side of the cross. And so there's work and practice to learning to hear the variations of the melody in the Old Testament and understanding through the cross what God is doing, the redemptive movement he is building, and then to understand these difficult passages from there. To see all of this evil and death and violence building towards the cross. And the ugliness of this Roman cross taking all of that upon it. And Jesus as God's sacrifice. His grace given to us as sinners, taking our brokenness and offering us redemption. And conquering the power of death that has been so destructive. And so we see a glimpse of this God in Psalm 103 as God takes a situation and uses it to reveal so much to David. And that becomes a lens that helps us fit together. We can take this vision of God in this psalm and use it to help us to understand what's happening around it in this big redemptive story. And then we can start to see glimpses of Jesus in the midst of this violence and messiness. And we can see our own deep, desperate need for the cross and praise God for the ways he has redeemed us. And so if we listen for the Shalom Kingdom melody as we read these difficult passages, we can start to see the movement of redemption that is happening and the ways that God is at work in the world in the midst of violence and brokenness and human sinfulness. We can see his grace, his love. And then in the New Testament, we see the fullness of this Jesus. And just a couple words here. Paul, the words of Paul reminding us who God truly is. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And then again, Jesus' words to Philip about God the Father. When Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip? even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus has revealed God the Father. And throughout Scripture, this is the same God, the God revealed in Jesus, is the God that is at work throughout history, through all time, from Genesis to Revelation, and in our lives in the same way today. And that melody is going to look a little different. It's going to have variations, but it is one continuous song of God working out his beautiful redemption to the fullness that we will celebrate one day in that Revelation 22 reality. You know, the Bible is an amazing book because it reveals to us an amazing God. But it will take work and intentional effort to see beyond our own cultural understanding, to wrestle with how we interpret and understand Scripture and see God's truth and how it all fits together in the beauty of Jesus. To see how God is moving among his people and gracefully moving his creation ever and ever closer to the fullness of the redemption story. So as I said, today's message is just a taste, not an answer to all of your questions, but hopefully another tool to help us grow our hermeneutic, our way of looking at and interpreting Scripture, a way to wrestle with difficult passages and start to see a new way that they might fit together and start to see God, even in the Old Testament, in new ways that can grow our understanding of him and then his work in our lives today. And we want to encourage you to keep digging into Scripture. Let's keep doing this together because the Bible really is accessible to anyone who believes that Jesus is Lord because we received his Spirit and it's his Spirit that guides us in understanding truth. His Spirit that empowers us to read his word. And so as this series wraps up, we hope you'll continue in this 180 reading plan together. We hope that you'll continue to dig and wrestle with Scriptures and that as you do that, you will see more and more of Jesus in every line. Continue to ask God to be revealing to you his redemptive story and how we see this play out through Scripture, and then how he's inviting us into that today. How we're a part of this Shalom Kingdom melody as his people today. Keep being curious, keep wrestling, keep asking questions. We love to engage those difficult questions with you, and we're not always going to have all the answers by any means. But we want to be curious. We want to be on this journey of engaging God's word and doing this together as his people and allowing his Spirit to lead and guide us as his community together so that we can understand him more and more, so we can fall more in love with Jesus, so that he can make us look more and more like him and live out his good news to the world around us. And so as we close this morning, it's our prayer that you would continue to fall more in love with the Scriptures and the person of Jesus within them, and that the Holy Spirit would help you sing his beautiful melody in your life today. Let's pray. Father, like David modeled, we thank you and we praise you as a good God, a good Father who loves us, who walks with us, who stoops to meet us and invite us this next step forward because you long for us to know you more and more, to be more and more in love with you, to allow you to be transforming us, filling us with your light, your hope, your life, and shining that around to us. But you have such a gracious way of inviting us one step at a time. And so, Father, would you continue your work in each of our lives and in us together as your people? And, Father, we confess that when we come to Scripture, it's tough at times, it's hard, it's complicated. We struggle to understand. We struggle with doubts and questions. And so I pray you would continue to meet us in these spaces, that your Spirit would be revealing more and more of your word and guiding us in understanding and allowing us to be transformed by your word, by your truth, that we would see Jesus more and more, in these beautiful words of Scripture, and that you would continue your beautiful work in us as your people. Teach us to see and then to sing for ourselves the Shalom Kingdom melody. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.